certainly appreciate the encouragement and instruction we've received thus far this morning. As Brother David pointed out, if we want many in a crowd, we have to ask many to come. I think it's Brother Julian that I've heard say this, about out of ever 100, you might get about one. And we know he's been very faithful to encourage folks and ask folks to come to the Lord's house and worship. We ought to be just as faithful. Sometimes when a church has somebody that does a job real well, we kind of lay the whole load on them, knowing that it's getting done because they're here to do it. However, the time comes, they pass off the scene and things fall by the wayside because there's no one left to do it. But really, the responsibility is all of ours. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We were in the enemy's hand. We were in Satan's hand. We had behaved in such a way by our sinfulness that we had put ourselves in the hand of the enemy. However, we find Psalm 107 said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's what Jesus did when he came. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. He took us from Satan's snare and placed us on a solid rock. And we stand now upon the Lord Jesus Christ because what he did when he came. He says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We just simply speak what things the Lord has done for us. He goes on to say, "Whom he that redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south." He says, "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." That's what the Lord's house is. It's a city of habitation for those who are walking a solitary way. And when you have your opportunity to reach out to those that you come in contact with, the Lord gathers them from the north, east, the south, and west, those that are lonely, those that are without a home in this world, those without a refuge, and here they're gathered together in the house of God, the place of refuge where the people of God assemble, where the family of God meets week to week at assemble to worship the Lord. We have the opportunity to tell others what the Lord's done for us. He just says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We're supposed to live and conduct our lives in such a way that when we're out in the world, that there's individuals that will see our hope and they'll ask us for the reason of the hope that's within us. And Peter told us that we're to be ready to give an answer. When anybody asks us for the reason of our hope, we need to be able and also ready to answer them. Too many times somebody's asked me a question about why I seem so cheerful in a very uncheerful world. And I sometimes say, "Well, I'm just kind of optimistic by nature," but I'm not optimistic by nature. The reason I'm optimistic is I know the Lord's on my side. I ought to say that instead of just say I'm optimistic by nature, because I'm not. I'm really optimistic because I know the Lord is with me and the Lord's redeemed me, and I've been redeemed by the hand of the Lord from the hand of the enemy, and I ought to say so. He told us about the man in Luke chapter 8, that wild Gadarene, who was a very troubled man. This man lived out in a cemetery because nobody else wanted him around. I mean, talk about the bad man in the neighborhood. Nobody wanted him to live next to them. He was driven out of town till he lived in the cemetery. He had rent his clothes off of him, and they chained him in the cemetery to try to keep him under control, but he was so wild with the devils that possessed him that he broke the chains asunder. Nobody wanted to be near this man. However, the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene. You know the story, what happened. The Lord comes to him and sees him in that condition, and he asks him what his name is. He says, "Our name is Legion, for we're many." There were many devils possessing that man. That man was very much in torment, but the Lord blessed that man. We find that at the end of that story, Jesus is sitting with that man. That man sitting with Jesus, clothed, it says, in his right mind. You know, he wanted to go with the Lord. The Lord was going to be leaving out of that coast. He wanted to go along with the Lord and be with the Lord and travel with the Lord, have companionship with the Lord. And we ought to want the same thing. And we want to go where Jesus is. We want to be where the Lord is. Well, Jesus is at his house. This is the Lord's house. If you want to go where Christ is, you come to Christ's house. This is the church of God in Jesus Christ. This is where the Lord meets us. That man wanted to go with the Lord. The best way, I tell you, to go with the Lord is come to the Lord's house. I'm thankful to know he's with me all the days of my life. He's with me at home. He's with me on an airplane like he was last night. He's with me wherever I go, and I'm thankful for that. However, it's important that I come together with you in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to worship the Lord. I can worship him, obviously, day by day. We're supposed to have a daily communion with Christ. We know that. However, it is prescribed in the Word of God that we assemble ourselves together each Lord's Day to meet and serve him, to hear the Word of God proclaimed, to hear the songs of Zion's Son, to sing psalms ourselves to the Lord and honor him in our doings. He has prescribed it that way. He's commanded it that way. He expects it that way, and he's pleased by that.
That man was sitting clothed in his right mind. He was not in his right mind before. I've been in my wrong mind. Have you not? Have you not had a wrong thing, a wrong attitude, a wrong spirit? I've been there. I've thought the wrong things. I've not always been in my right mind. I see several times in the Bible where individuals were not in their right minds. Think about Nebuchadnezzar. You remember the occasion when he's walking through Babylon. He begins to look at all the glory of that place. Remember what he said? Look at great Babylon, which I have built. The Bible makes it clear that promotion doesn't come from the east, the south, or the west, but rather it comes from the hand of God. That man had been promoted by the grace of God, and he did not honor the Lord in that promotion. And what did God do to him? He drove him from his throne and sent him out to the beast, where he ate as a beast the field. His hair grew out like eagle's feathers, his fingernails like bird's claws, and he ate grass like a beast did. And he did that for 7 years. For 7 years, that man was in such a condition till the Lord came to him. He says, till my understanding returned to me. You know what his understanding was? He recognized the sovereignty of God. He understood that it was God who had blessed him with all that. He made that great statement, how that none could stay God's hand and none could say to him, what doest thou? That God does his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? That man was in his right mind because he recognized where God was and where he was. And God was far above him. And he honored him and worshipped him. This young man, or I don't know, of these young men or not, in Luke chapter 8, he worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to continue and follow after him, but Christ had a purpose for him. The Lord told him, no, you can't go with me. You know what he told him to do? He says, you go home. Wait a minute, that cemetery had been his home, but now he's in his right mind. He can go back home. He can go back where he belongs. He can go back among the people and have an influence for them now because he's in his right mind. And so the Lord sent him home, and he told him to do something when he went home. He didn't say, just go home and nothing more than that. Sometimes that's what we do when we leave here Sunday morning. We just go home, and that's all there is to it. There's something to do as you leave the Lord's house. There's a job for you. There's something to do as you go home. The Lord didn't just say, go home. He says, you go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord had done for you. You know, that's our job after every Sunday afternoon. Every time you leave the doors of this building on Sunday afternoon, you're to go home. But not just go home and sit. You've got a job to do when you go home. And your job is to tell your friends what great things the Lord had done for you. You know what the Lord's telling him? He says, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. That's all he's telling him. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. And he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Brother David's already adequately expressed us this story. However, we see that when Jesus came back through that coast, that all the town came out to hear Jesus speak. All the city wanted to hear this one who had changed this man's life. They knew what he was before. They recognized that he was possessed of devils. They saw the troubled man, and they saw that there was a man that had an impact on him and changed him, and they wanted to see that man for themselves. They wanted to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you and I conduct our lives in such a way that those that we come in contact with can tell that there's a difference. There ought to be a difference. The Bible is clear that we're to come out from the wicked and be separate from them. In other words, we're to live a godly life, not just here in the house of God, but day by day as we are in school and work at our house, wherever it is, when you're in traffic over in Tampa, wherever you are, you're still called to serve the Lord. And hopefully you do so in such a way that people take note that we've been with Jesus. And hopefully they want to ask a question. And just as Brother David said, you can tell them there's a good church down at Little Union, and our whole purpose is not to promote activities or to promote humanism or promote ourselves. Our whole desire is to promote and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of this church. And if you have any other purpose coming here, you need to get rid of that purpose. My purpose in coming here is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you come here week to week to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else here for you if you're not here to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about somebody else. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we put him in focus, we keep him as the chief aim. All of us are blessed, and it does become about us because the Lord rains his blessing upon us. But when we come, our motivation, our desire, our goal is to honor and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was told, go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord had done for you. And so he came out and he brought his friends with him. So there was a great multitude there to hear the Lord. There could have just been one.
It could have just been the wild Gadarene and him alone. He could have gone home, just kept it to himself, and come back the next time the Lord came through and hear about the Lord again. That's what we do oftentimes week to week. We go home, don't tell anybody about it, come back the next week, hear the story again, go back home and do it over and over and over again. But as I've already said, when we leave this place, me, you, all of us have a job to do. And that job is to tell others what great things the Lord has done for us.
But certainly, He has. Have you ever stopped to think what great things He has done for us? That man was told, go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord had done for you. Well, that man obviously had a changed life. That man was clothed his right mind. He wasn't possessed of devils anymore because the Lord drove him out, put him in swine, and they drowned themselves in the sea. The Lord took care of that man. Well, the Lord has done the same for you and I. The Lord has put us in our right mind. When we came to hear the truth of the gospel, and when we understood the truth of the gospel, all of a sudden we were in our right mind. The only way you can have a right mind is to know the truth. An error does not bring us to our right mind. Only the truth is healthy for our mindset, is it not? I mean, to understand that God is sovereign, that God is over us all, that He has died for us, bled for us, buried for us, He was resurrected for us, ascended for us, He now intercedes for us, He's coming back for us. Does that not put us in our right mind? To understand the things that Christ has done for us. Imagine where we would be without Christ in the world. We'd be of all men, the Bible says, most miserable. Would we not? I mean, think about your life separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a tragedy. It would be a horrible experience. I know I've been there, and many of you have also. I'm thankful for the Church of Jesus Christ because it promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ, which puts us in our right mind. So that man, he went home, he told his friends. He simply told them what the Lord had done. He didn't go home with a lot of tracts or a lot of information or a lot of things to hand out. He just simply told them the Lord had been merciful to him. And his life had been forever altered because of his experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we have to offer. A little Union Church has nothing else. We can just simply tell people what the Lord's done for us. That He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. That we were in Satan's snares. We were in the grasp of Satan. Had it not been for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us, we would have been forever in hell. Talk about a great change that Christ took us basically from hell to heaven, because that's where we deserve to go. The Bible says, lust when it's conceived, bringing forth sin. Sin is finished, bringing forth death. That was the result of our sin, that we should have died and had an eternal separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But He brought us in fellowship with Himself and with His Father. He broke down, the Bible says, the middle wall of partition. That's obviously between Jews and Gentiles, but thankfully He also broke asunder that which kept us from God in heaven. And we know at the last day we shall be with the Lord, and not one shall be lost. That's what Christ has done for us. Is that not a worthy story to tell somebody about? I think it is. I think it is. In fact, it's the only thing we have to offer, but it's the best thing there is in the world. You remember Queen of Sheba, she went to Solomon and she saw God's blessings upon him. She said, the half was not told me. She saw the glory of that place. We have a great story to tell. We can't even get to the half of it. But I promise you, when people can see it, just like the Queen of Sheba saw the glory of that kingdom, they'll see the glory of this kingdom. And they'll see the peace that's here, the joy of the Holy Ghost, and the righteousness that's here at this place. We see Brother David also mentioned Acts chapter 10. I'll turn there for just a moment. There was that man named Cornelius. He was a man who was troubled in mind because he knew certain things about God, but his information was limited and he needed more information, and God received that and blessed him. God recognized that he was a godly man. He was a righteous man. He was a man that gave alms. That means he gave money to the poor. He was a man that feared God, and he also respected those that were under him, and he prayed. This man didn't know a lot about God, but what he did know was evident in how he conducted himself. I'm thankful to know that it is not important for me to know the gospel to behave in a godly way. You know, people can behave in a godly way without the truth of the gospel. They do so all the time. We see many people are obviously touched by the hand of God, but don't know the first thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but their behavior shows that the Lord's been with them. That's how Cornelius was. His behavior showed the Lord had been with him, and the Lord had blessed him up to that point, but God decided to bless him further, because we see God heard his prayers, and that angel that came to him said that his prayers and his almsgiving came up as a memorial before the Lord. In other words, it came to God's remembrance of what this man had done, and God chose to send the gospel to him.
You know, he's one of the very first to ever even hear the gospel among the Gentile people. I find Matthew 15, there was a Syrophoenician woman who came to the Lord, and at first Christ wasn't even going to help her, but she kept on till finally he said, you remember he called her a dog, and she said, "Truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he said he hadn't seen so great a faith being unto thee according as thou wilt. He blessed that Gentile. I find John 12, two Greeks came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus," and Philip took him to Andrew, and Andrew took him to the Lord, and they saw Christ, and Christ showed them a picture of his death. Those are very few in the New Testament that had gotten to see the Lord, because the Lord made it clear that he had come to the lost sheep in the house of Israel. He even told his disciples, Matthew chapter 10, that they were not to go to the way of the Gentiles, nor any of the cities of the Samaritans. They were not to enter, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I find in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord changed that. Matthew 28, the Lord says in verse 18, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." He's letting them know that what I'm about to say, I have the authority to say it. Because he's talking to Jews who would not for a moment have anything to do with Gentiles. So he's letting them know, I am God, and I have the authority to say what I'm going to say. And that authority is that you can go now into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says you're to teach them, you're to baptize them, and you're to keep on teaching them. You know, there's some people that think that you can't baptize somebody until they know every point of our doctrine, almost like they got to have the articles of faith memorized. That's not so. I find in Acts chapter 9 that there's a man named, I actually don't know his name, he's simply a eunuch, and Philip came to him, and that man heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, as according to Isaiah 53, and he saw water, and he asked the question, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know, there's some people have the wrong attitude about it. They want to know, well, what good is there to be baptized? That man want to know, why should I not be baptized? I'd like to have his attitude, you know. Why shouldn't I be baptized? I ought to be baptized. In other words, what he said, what does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip asked him, "Dost thou believe?" He said that he believed that Christ was the Son of God. And they commanded that chariot to stop. And they went down to the water, and he was baptized. Immediately, Philip was carried away in the Spirit. That man was greatly blessed. He didn't know a lot about the Lord, but he knew enough. He knew that he was the Son of God, and he was delivered from sins by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, he told him where to teach. There ought to be some teaching before baptism. Teach, baptize, and keep on teaching. That's what we do here every Sunday. You've been taught, you were baptized, now we just keep on teaching. Have you learned it all yet? I haven't. I'm still learning, so I can teach you. You're still learning also, because we're constantly being taught by the Lord. Thanks be to God, we are. But here, that man in Acts chapter 10, his alms and his prayers came before God as a memorial. God blessed that man, honored that man, sent an angel to that man, and said, "Now you send down to Joppa for one named Simon. He's staying at Simon the tanner's house, and that's by the sea." Sure. He gave him the address, and so he sends down three men. And of course, the Lord's working on the other end. I'm thankful to know the Lord works both ends. I'm thankful to know the Lord works in the preacher, and the Lord works on the one who's going to be preached to. Sometimes you might be the preacher. Sometimes it may be you that the Lord uses to talk to somebody, and I hope the Lord prepares you, but also need to know that the Lord's going to prepare them. I find Revelation chapter 22 tells it, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." It takes the Lord Jesus Christ, his Spirit saying, "Come," and it takes the believer saying, "Come." It takes both of us working together. That's why Paul said, we are fellow laborers with God. We're working together with the Lord in promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we labor also. We are fellow laborers with the Lord. I'm thankful to know that I'm yoked together with God himself and a fellow laborer with the Lord. That's what Peter's doing now. Peter's over here praying, and God sends a vision to him. It's amazing. Cornelius over there praying. Peter's over here praying. Both men are praying to the same God. And so God tells one, you go to the other, and tells Peter, now you go down to him. There's a problem, though. Peter's done forgot Matthew 28. Peter's done forgot the Lord told him he could go. But the Lord had already told him he could go. And so the Lord comes to him in a vision. He takes a sheet, knit at the four corners, lets it down out of heaven. And in that is all manner of beast. All those things in Leviticus they were told not to eat. And here God tells Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Peter, I tell you what, that man, he had a lot of boldness, did he not? Remember the time he took the Lord and rebuked him? He did. He rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about audacity of a man taking the Lord. It says he took him and rebuked him. Here we find that Peter tells the Lord, no. Have you ever done that? I have. There's been times I felt compelled in my heart to do something, and I didn't want to do it, and I didn't do it. I basically told the Lord no. Well, here Peter says, not so, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. He says he did that three times, dropped it down. And finally, God told him, what I have cleansed, call thou not common nor unclean. It's interesting, Acts chapter 11, that the Apostle Peter, in reporting to the bosses back at Jerusalem, he told them, God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter got the message. That was let down three times, and immediately there were three men here. All those three times were to let Peter know three men are coming. They're going to be unclean men in your mind, but I have cleansed them, and what I have cleansed call thou not common or unclean. And so the Apostle Peter recognized that, finally behaved and honored the Lord, and followed those three men back down to Cornelius' house. And just as Brother David pointed out, Cornelius was busy in the meantime. Cornelius didn't just sit at home waiting for Peter to come, but rather he went out to his friends and his kinsmen. That means his neighbors, his friends, and his family. Those are the three categories of people that we have great influence among. You know your neighbors, or at least we ought to. Now I realize in the year 2012, we're not as neighborly as we once were as Americans. There's a time you stand by your fence and talk to a neighbor all day long. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but we ought to change that. We ought to know who our neighbors are. I remember one occasion, a man came to the Lord and asked him, who is my neighbor? In other words, he's trying to get out of his duty. And the Lord told him, basically, everybody's his neighbor. Our neighbors are those who we have contact with. We ought to reach out to them. We have people living on all sides of us. They ought to know where we go to church. They ought to know what we believe because we should have told them. He invited his kinsmen and near friends. So he invited his family and his near friends. You have near friends and you have family, and you ought to be inviting them. So by this time, when Peter comes, the house is full. Not only did Cornelius get the blessing of the gospel that day, but everybody in that house did. And we find that they wanted to be baptized. Peter baptized them, and after he baptized them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, just as it did on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Here they were greatly blessed. Now, Cornelius could have kept that all to himself. He could have said, well, the Lord had told me to sin. I don't see where the Lord ever told him, though, to call his neighbors and his friends. It doesn't say it there, but he had the notion he ought to do so. He had this attitude. If what the Lord is going to send me, it's good for somebody else, and that ought to be our attitude every time we come to the house of God. Remember what he told Peter when Peter first came? He said, here are we all assembled to hear all things commanded thee of God. Here we are in the presence of God. Excuse me, to hear all things commanded thee of God. That's how we ought to come to the house of God. First of all, we recognize we're here in the presence of God. God is here. Because it's God's house. We're here in the presence of God to hear all things commanded thee of God. The ministry ought to proclaim the word of God. I'm not to proclaim my ideas, my notions, my thoughts, my feelings. It's not about me. It's not about my emotions, what I'm feeling this day. But it's rather about the word of God. I don't spend a lot of time telling you a lot of personal stories because I'm not here to preach myself, but rather Christ crucified. I don't spend a lot of time about me, and I don't ever want to spend a lot of time about me. I want to spend a lot of time about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we're here before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. The ministry, obviously, is supposed to be tender to the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God to preach the Word of God. And hopefully, then the people come together recognizing it is the Word of God and honor the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and believe the Word of God. That's what Cornelius did. He says, we're here for this purpose. And he understood that if the Word of God was good for him, it was also good for his friends and near kinsmen. If the Word of God is good for you every Sunday, it's good for your family and it's good for your friends. It's the message from heaven. If it's good for you, it's good for them also. Cornelius had that idea, so the whole house was full. And so at the end of that experience, not only was Cornelius baptized, but many others were baptized also. Again, Psalm 107 makes it clear. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's not an invitation. That's not a suggestion, it's a command. It's our responsibility as believers to spread the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our business is. In fact, we come together here, so hopefully the preaching of the gospel equips you, so as you go out these doors, you have what you need to be an influence to those you come in contact with. This is not here just for a party to build us up, it's here to honor the Lord, but also to strengthen us, so as we go out this door, we're able then to live in this world and have an influence in this world. The Bible says we are the light of this world. He also calls us the salt of the earth.
How can we be a light? How can we be salt if we bury ourselves away? In fact, the Lord made it clear. A man doesn't light a candle and set it under a bush and hide it, but rather he puts it out so men can see. What good would a lighthouse do on a seashore if everybody blocked the light and the ships couldn't see it and come safely into the harbor? That's what the Church of God here is for, to shine the light out so that those who are out in the storms of this world can see clearly where the house of God is and where the safe harbor is, so they can come and find a refuge in a time of storm. But the only way for that to happen is for you and I to conduct our lives in such a way that we shed forth the light of the glory of God so others can see and know where the church is in a dark world. He tells us very clear that this Lord's house, it's a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Too many times our people have buried the house of God, sometimes literally so. I've seen churches even here in this state buried away in orange orchards and other places people can't find, but that's not really what it's talking about. What's more, if we live our lives as we ought to, it shouldn't matter where the church house is. What matters is where we are and who we're talking to and who we have an influence among. It doesn't matter where the church building itself is. What's important is where the church is. That's you. Where you are and who you have an influence among, they can find the church house just easy once you write it down on a piece of paper. That's not the important part. The important part is they see you and your life and the light you show forth, and they see it, desire it, and want to follow after it. There where the Lord said at Matthew chapter 5, when they see your good works, they see you a city set on a hill, a light not hid, a salt of the earth. The whole result of that is they glorify your Father which is in heaven. So even when we spread the gospel, it's not to build this church up in numbers. I certainly love to see it full. I love to see, as Brother David say, we'd have to go through another building project. Really, I don't want to do that. But if we have to, we will. I'd love to see that. But it's not for that reason. It's so that our Father, which is in heaven, will be glorified. Because as people know the truth, they do the truth. And the Father's glorified in that. But you can't hardly do it unless you know it. So it's important as we depart this place that we go home and we tell others what great things the Lord has done for us. I thank you for good attention. May the Lord bless you.